Our third reading is from Matthew's Gospel, and you'll find it printed on your service sheet. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus.
In the current list of most popular names for babies, you've got William, Harry and George that all feature in the top 10 boys' names, thanks to the royal family. And Amelia has remained as the top girl's name since 2011, which was the year which, what happened in 2011 to get Amelia to the top? Anyone know? Apparently Amelia Amy Pond first appeared on Doctor Who. There we have it. So nowadays, babies' names tend to be chosen according to who the latest celebrity is, or sort of latest baby in the royal family. And for our children, we simply chose names that we liked and that worked in Swedish and English. As to what their names mean, so Sebastian, Reuben, Harriet and Nelson, we haven't a raving clue. But in biblical times, it's very different. So in biblical times, the meaning of names was really, really significant. A baby was born who is so special, who is so unique, that we celebrate his birth every year, and we acknowledge it actually every day, don't we? We remind ourselves every day when we open the newspaper that it is now 2014 years since this special baby was born. But what is so special about him? Well, the names that he was given, and which are in the passage from Matthew's Gospel that we just had read, and I put them in bold and underlined them, reveal his unique identity. Firstly, he is called Emmanuel. Birth announcements are common enough, aren't they? So this one, though, was a bit different. This birth announcement was issued 700 years before the baby was born. And it said this, you'll see it there on the sheet. It says that the virgin will conceive, this is in verse 23, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. So Emmanuel is his name in the sense of being a title or a description, and Emmanuel is actually a Hebrew word, and it means God with us. The staggering truth encapsulated in that name is expressed in many of the carols that we sing. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity, from Hark the Herald. Or he came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, in Once in Royal. So in that first century stable was lying a child who was both a real human being, but also God. So by means of the virgin conception, the human and the divine had come together in a unique way. So physically, he was the son of Mary. Legally, he was the son of Joseph, who names him. But at the most fundamental level, he was and is the Son of God. The Son of God. God with us. And over the years, his character and his teaching, his miracles, and ultimately his resurrection would be proof of that staggering claim. I went past a hoarding on a bus shelter the other day that had a Christmas advert on it. It was a Boots advert. And it said, give a gift that is as special as the one you're giving it to. And it had a picture of a hairdryer. I don't know about you, but I'd be a little bit disappointed if someone thought that I was as special as a hairdryer. I'd hope to be worth a little bit more than that. But how much do you think you are actually worth, and why? And what makes you think that you're anything special? Richard Dawkins recently caused a bit of a stir. A woman asked him what she should do if she discovered that she was pregnant with a child with Downs. And Dawkins' tweeted reply was, abort it and try again. And he went on to point out that his argument was actually a rational response from an atheistic perspective. And it is. It is. If there is no God, if we're just naked apes, if we're just electrochemical machines, we have no ultimate value. None of us have, whether or not we have disabilities. We don't matter. We're nothing special. And many of us may feel that way. But the birth of Emmanuel says otherwise. God with us means you're not just a few chemicals in a bag of skin. Although we're a rebel human race, we are so special to God that God has come to dwell among us and has become one of us. For God to come into our world and become a human being, it tells us at the very least that we matter to God. In astronomical terms, we may well be bouncing around on an insignificant planet, a planet that has been described as the Swindon of the universe. But the birth of Emmanuel tells us that we are very much on God's radar. We are the visited planet. But why did God bother? What was the purpose of the trip? Well, the answer to that lies in another name he was given. And this was the actual name that he used. So the angel says, she will give, this is in verse 21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus means the Lord saves. The Lord saves. So the Son of God came from heaven not just to teach us, not just to show us how to live better, but to save us. He came on a rescue mission. And in particular, it says here, he came to rescue us from our sins. From our sins. I don't know if you watch YouTube much, but the annual People Are Awesome video is now up on YouTube and has quickly gone viral. And basically, it's this 3-minute montage of people doing amazing things, sort of daredevil stunts and acrobatics and so on. And it's listed as being a celebration of physical human ability and ambition. It's listed as being a testimony to the human spirit. And it is incredible. It is remarkable what people are capable of doing. Go back and watch it afterwards if you haven't seen it. People are awesome. And we are awesome. But awesome is not the whole story. There is another side to us as human beings. There are some other videos on YouTube called Fail Army, which our kids love to watch, which are compilations of things that have gone wrong. And many of them are very, very funny. But slips are one thing, sins are another. Slips are one thing, sins are another. Our sins are the wrong things that we think and say and do. And the good things that we fail to do. Our failure to love God, our failure to love other people as we should, 100%, 24/7. And a compilation video of that sort of stuff over the past year or through a whole life, that wouldn't make for viewing that was quite so amusing. In God's court, all of us, the Bible says, stand guilty, and we're alienated from God because of that, both now and in eternity. And that is why we need rescuing, and that is why Christmas is such good news. Because in Jesus, God has sent the rescuer that we need. I often tell the story, and our regulars will be fed up with this one, but I often tell the story, my favorite one, of when one of our children, who will remain nameless, was about 2 years old, and we were trying to potty train him. And my wife found him one day in the living room with his trousers around his ankles and legs completely soaking wet and standing in this pool of piddle. And so she said to him, "Name, have you piddled?" And without missing a beat, he looked at her and he said, "No, Daddy did it." And in a similar way, when the Bible says that we've done wrong, our instinctive response is to deny it and to blame somebody else and say, no, it wasn't me, Daddy did it, or whoever. But we know it's true, don't we? Which of us lives up even to our own standards, never mind to God's? And that is why it is such good news that in Jesus, God has sent us the rescuer that we need. I guess some people could relate to Lord Nelson, who, as he lay dying, he said to his doctor, "Doctor, I've not been a great sinner. Thank God I've done my duty." Isn't that how many people think? Okay, I'm not perfect, but who is? But, you know, I'm pretty good. I'm not a great sinner. Really? Is that true, that you're not a great sinner? Do you remember the TV series This Is Your Life? Maybe this is aging me a bit, but with Eamon Andrews, and he'd get this surprise guest, special guest, would take them through their life with the assistance of the big red book. And he'd do this in front of all their family and friends who were sort of brought in from stage left. But imagine if we did that today after the service. We did a This Is Your Life for you, and you were the special guest. And suddenly in come through the barge door all your family and friends off the quayside, and they sit down. And then up on the screen we go through the big red book and we go through your life. I imagine there'd be lots to celebrate. But imagine if with sort of special high technology we could show on the screen all the wrong things that you've ever done and said or even thought. The kind of things that the baby in the manger when he grew up, the kind of things he said are in our hearts. Sexual immorality, coveting, deceit, envy, slander, pride, lust, selfishness. How long would you stay in the room? I think if it was me, I'd be out of the door pretty quickly. God has got that big red book about your life and about my life. But God hasn't sent Jesus to condemn us. He sent him to save us, to die for our sins, to pick up the bill for all the sins recorded in that big red book so that we can be forgiven by God and know him forever. So the baby is Emmanuel, he is God with us. Secondly, he is Jesus, the rescuer. And lastly, he is the Christ. It says, this is how, in the first verse there, in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. The birth of Jesus Christ. Christ is not a surname, it's actually a title, a bit like doctor or reverend. And the Greek term Christ or the Hebrew equivalent Messiah, they both mean the same thing. They mean the anointed one. In the Old Testament, the anointed one was the king. But the Old Testament looked forward to the day when God would one day send the ultimate king, the king with a capital K, the king who would rule forever with righteousness and justice. If you could have anything at all this Christmas as a present, what would you ask for? If you could have anything, would it be a diamond necklace? Would it be some fancy sports car? Well, that's nice, but it's too small. Think big, dream dreams. If you could have anything, what would you ask for? We smoke, don't we, at the Miss World contestant who says that she wants world peace. But she's onto something, isn't she? In the end, don't we long for someone to come and sort out the mess in this world? Someone to bring peace and stability to our troubled world and also to our troubled hearts. Someone who could end the suffering, end the poverty. Someone who could bring justice, get rid of all evil. Imagine for a moment if there were such a ruler. A king with that kind of power and the commitment to using that power for good. A king who would take on and defeat all the enemies of mankind. Who could deliver not just a cure for cancer, but a cure for death. Imagine if this ruler were committed not just to the welfare of the world, but to you and your personal welfare. Someone looking out for you, caring for you like a good shepherd, using his infinite power and love to care for you as an individual. Wouldn't that be the perfect present? Books like Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, don't know if you're into that sort of stuff, but books like that tap into this deep ache within us, this longing for the true king to return. We were made by a king. We were made to be ruled by this king. A perfectly righteous king, a king worthy of all our obedience and our service. The Bible is saying that this king has now come. At the end of Matthew's gospel, Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Sometimes in a good ruler, we get a tiny glimpse, don't we, of what the world could be like if such a person were running the show. But even if you've got someone good in charge, they're just a person and they're soon gone. And for every Mandela, there are plenty of Mugabes. We need a ruler who is perfectly good, who has total power, and who won't die. It can't be an inside job. It needs to be somebody from the outside. It needs to be somebody from heaven. The Bible is saying this king has now come, and he will one day return to sort everything out. Jesus is the king we long for. There was an article in the papers last week that was headed, "Christmas comes but once a year, but it is earlier every time." And don't you find that? It's pretty much mid-August now that the festivities seem to begin. But that's not a bad thing, because the very term Christmas, Christ Mass, is a reminder that the king has now come. It is a reminder of who the real boss is. And it is a reminder that Jesus is the rightful ruler of our lives. Perhaps that's one reason why some people prefer Xmas to Christmas. This time of year, you see banners, don't you, with Xmas on instead of Christmas. And at one level, it makes perfect sense because it's cheaper. You don't need such a big banner if you put an X instead of Christ. But there is something in each of us which does want to get rid of the Christ and to replace him with an X. However much we may long for world peace, if I want to keep running my life my own way, the news that the King, the Christ, has come is maybe not what I want to hear. An X is much less threatening, and it leaves me running the show, at least for the time being. But that is a policy heading for disaster when one day the true King does return and he calls us to account. When our youngest was 7 months old, my wife got a phone call to take him as soon as possible to the local birthing centre on the Isle of Dogs because the Prime Minister was coming and wanted to meet someone who'd given birth recently at this centre. And this is a clip from the video. That isn't photoshopped, honestly, that is for real. And later that day on News at 10, there was this report, and this was a still from it, and there was a clip that of this visit, and it showed the Prime Minister talking to my lovely wife and our youngest there. And they were having a chat, and the narrator ended this piece by describing him, and the camera sort of zoomed in, describing him as being the future of Britain. And as a dad, it's just one of those moments when... Now, Nelson Nodden may well be the future of Britain, and he'll be autographing afterwards if you want. And of course, all our hopes are pinned on the little fella. But Jesus is in a category of one. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus, come to save us from our sins. And he is the Christ, the rightful ruler over us. He is unique. Well, what should we do? God doesn't just want us to admire Jesus like we admire fireworks on November the 5th and go sort of ooh-ah. He wants us to put our trust in him and to receive him personally. To follow him. And not just follow him on Twitter, but to live our lives for him. He calls us to receive him personally as my rescuer who died for me and for my sins. And he calls us to submit to him as my ruler who has the right to rule over me and my life. And only then does God with us become God with me and in me by his Holy Spirit. We're going to stand now and sing this wonderful carol of joy to the world. It's wonderful news that the King has now come. And so we're going to now stand and praise God for that.